10 on the Barbados Fire Service, 311.
A pleasant and beautiful day. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and even good night. This is the 311 Radio Show, and I am your host, Senior Fire and Life Safety Officer Natasha Ford. And joining me this afternoon is none other... I mean, yes, we should punish him for staying this long, but we have with us Dio Small. Welcome back, sir.
Hey, thank you.
Top barrel, I carried you away.
She almost did. But good afternoon to public. Good afternoon, Barbados. And it's a pleasure to be back here to share with you again on another Sunday of some of the issues that we've seen and also to get some solutions. So thanks again.
And as you know, as we do it here in the Barbados Fire Service, every Sunday we try to make sure that we educate you, keep you up to date, what is happening in the department, what the officers are doing, if you're new activities, of course, to correct you when you're out there doing wrong, to ensure that we have a safe to Barbados, and also that the citizenry of Barbados is also safe. Now, there are a couple of things before we get into sharing lashes, because yes, I think we need to share some lashes. Let me say good afternoon, a special good afternoon to our regular listeners, those persons who call on occasion and compliment on the show or give feedback on the show. Thank you for making the show what it is. It's the feedback and the critique that helps us to grow, and without you as a listenership, I'm sure VOB would have pulled us long time.
Definitely. And you know, actually, to tell the truth, I recently had a call from a member of the public who was encouraging us to have a like or something for you to think about.
Listen, I want that person to call VOB 92.9 and confuse them to have a live show. I'm in full support of it.
Okay, that sounds good.
And of course, there is one special person. I mean, if I don't shout her out, it would be so wrong of me. Good afternoon to you, Miss Crystal Best. Hope you are having a bright and beautiful Sunday today. So, on that note as well, let me drop my tone. Let me drop my energy. We've also had one of our officers who has had a loss in his family. That would be Officer Station Officer McAllister, who would have recently lost his grandfather. And we would like to extend condolences to him on behalf of the department. Please know that we're here in prayer with you, and any strength that we can offer, any shoulder that we can offer as a department, we're here to also do that.
Just know that we rest assured that we will support you through these trying times.
Yes. So, what are we talking about today?
We want to talk about some practices that we've seen creeping in and give the opportunity for some solutions. Now, high on the agenda is some issues the public has been creating for the officers when there are emergencies. We know that persons tend to like to get involved, tend to like to get that vantage point to see what's going on.
Yeah.
But recently, we've had some fires where the officers would have identified a safe perimeter, and therefore that safe perimeter is put in place to ensure that the public is safe. Mm-hmm. We also have a responsibility for those agencies and persons working with this area. But
so, before you go any further, let me ask you a question. You're talking about the safe perimeter. How do I, as a member of the public, identify your safe perimeter?
Okay, what you might be seeing, as I said, is a safe perimeter. But what you would see is generally cones or vehicles restricting normal access to a specific area.
And we're not talking ice cream cones?
Not ice cream cones, definitely.
Okay, good. So these orange cones that were normally traffic cones that you see in the road.
Definitely.
Okay, thank you.
And sometimes because you might have to employ a lot of them, you might not have enough. Mm-hmm. Sometimes an officer is placed there until we can get members of the West Police Service to come on to help that traffic control and these kind of things. Uh-huh. But what we've been noticing, persons actually driving through the cones, and persons actually driven over the cones.
No respect.
Sorry, ignoring the officers. He's the choose a different path. And the issues arising from this is that we isolate these areas to ensure that personnel can freely do or carry out their tasks. And when you reach these perimeters, you can
not put in officers at risk. You're putting the employers, because we also have to protect the employers. That's also at risk, and also onlookers, if there are any onlookers.
Exactly.
Because they're outside the perimeter, yes, but it's a chance things can go wrong. Things can go here, way.
So what we want you all to recognize that, yes, a fire will have different stages. And there's, in the initial stage, you will see a lot of smoke, a lot of flames, and people tend to give the respect in that at that phase, mm-hmm. I will not enter. Mm-hmm. But once they're not seeing the amount of smoke, the amount of flames, they tend to believe that it's all safe.
All good and dandy. Exactly. And this is this point now, or this is the stage now, which is the most critical stage and one of the most dangerous stages.
Exactly.
Because of all of those those products of
combustion,
incomplete combustions. You have all the carcinogens out there. And again, I don't get it. You see the officers all suited up, wearing SCBA, self-contained breathing apparatus. That is, you know, you see us with the tag on and covering over our face, which is giving us breathable air.
That's correct.
But then you, as the general public, you are there inhaling all of this cancer. I can call it what it is, I'm sorry. But at the end of the day, that's what you're doing. You're inhaling all of this cancer. And then we want to know why we're a nation that's so sick. We glorifying.
Well, the what I want to get over this afternoon is to ask the public to respect those
perimeters.
All instructions that would have been given to you by members of the Barbados Fire Service or any emergency agency. Because a lot of times you work along other agencies, but it's all part of our mandate in keeping Barbados safe.
But not only that, we are saying mandates, and sometimes we know the community likes to get involved. And sometimes you may not have enough personnel, as you say, because it may be a case that on that particular day you don't have all the personnel that you may require to carry out suppression operations, and also in terms of scene safety. You may say to a member of the public, all right, you do this job for me. Make sure traffic doors are coming through this area. Then if you see some person giving directions, have you become so disrespectful that we cannot listen or adhere to what is being said?
And it's very serious, because we have had a lot of near misses from time to time where people ignore or fail to heed the warnings or the devices that have been put in place to restrict access. And our officers moving around thinking or on the assurance that we have established that restricted area have on numerous times come one-on-one with a driver of that ambulance, the lady with them causing incident. So we are asking persons to think and heed the warnings. Restrictions are not put only in place for those persons working at the incident scene. It's also in place for you, public, to serve. Therefore, we must take lightly to ensure that you're safe, so we are asking for that level of cooperation.
And I know within us, we can do a lot better. I don't know what the hurry is. We're in such a big hurry to go. At the end of the day, we're asking you, it is not something that is done every day. We don't just go there, block access. We don't just go there and decide that we're going to close down one area of the road or something like that. It has to be an emergency. There has to be some sort of operations going on. And at the end of the day, if you go there and you really just conduct your business, do as you feel, you injure any of these officers, then it means that you're making a situation even worse. One, it means that you're going to deplete our resources. So the mere fact now that you don't have that officer there at work if something should happen, and it is an essential service, you require personnel, you require people to physically do the work. We don't have drones, we don't have robots, we don't have machinery that do this. It is people. And if you care about yourself, you care about your parts, because, I mean, if your finger hurt you, you cry out. Now, imagine you are taking a piece of machinery that you have total control over, and you are just using it as what? We would call that a missile in that case. You're putting somebody else at risk. I think you need to stop. You need to reevaluate and think. This could be something happening to you. This could be at you. And I don't think it's only the motorists. We also have pedestrians.
Yes, pedestrians, some of the most difficult persons. Ask them not to enter scene. It's always like when you're going just short here, it seems small. And what you don't see does not mean danger is not imminent to the incident. And even if it's just like products, some of these products are colorless and things, and we really don't want to come in contact with the exposed to them.
Let me ask a question. I'm not sure if it's a fair question to you, but in terms of these individuals who compromise safety, is there any legal recourse that we can take? In terms of the motorists, get your car and your car number, and in some cases now, right, I mean, that don't even work, or somebody carries an even license, they're not on the road legally. But if it's a case that you can take the number, hand it over to the police, and then carry out their actions?
Then that's our dealing with it. Sometimes we try to persuade them and speak with these persons so that...
As you are doing now.
Educate the persons.
I won't just lock
them. Right, but definitely we can pass on those vehicle numbers to the proper authorities. But as I'm reaching out here today, I really would like persons to take it on board, take it at heart, and be able to respect the officers as they care of the engineers from here.
Exactly. I think the plea has been made, and I know we keep hearing over and over that we have become a uncaring, selfish nation. But at the end of the day, remember, these officers, whether male or female, they have families too. Remember that you, as a citizen of Barbados, you don't know when you're going to need the service. Most of us live in houses. I don't think we live on the rocks. Those of you who drive vehicle, there's always a chance that there can be an accident, and you're going to need these officers to respond to ensure your safety. Work with us. Be patient. There's nothing at this point in time that you cannot do when you're carrying out operations. The emphasis is on you.
Now I would like to raise the issue of these rubbish fires.
Oh, jeez. Here we go.
These rubbish fires, a lot of times we are improvising. Rather than putting the garbage, have it by properly and put it there for members of the Sanitation Service Authority. Some persons are starting to burn the rubbish, the refuge. Now, not only does this pose a challenge in terms of the production of the greenhouse gases and carbon emissions, which was worried around the world to be
climate change,
raising temperatures and the health effect. But that is a contribution to that. But equally, after these fires have been extinguished, persons do not then clean up after. So then we are creating a health hazard to members of the community and to yourself. And we want to ask persons to desist from the burning of rubbish. And rubbish piles, you're seeing plastic, cardboard, various items, and these also give off toxic gases that could provide a health hazard to you, to the members within the community, because in the community, we have vulnerable people, we have persons who are prone to respiratory
ailments
and distress, and we don't want at no time that due to our indiscriminate or actions that we create other problems for members within the community. So we want to implore on you to desist from the lighting of rubbish, buy the rubbish, get in contact with Sanitation Service Authority. If you need to come out with a truck and a bobcat, let them come, let them help you, but let us reduce the impact on the environment and the likelihood persons in the community being negatively impacted there.
Now, as we're sitting here and I'm looking across the landscape of Barbados, you can see how beautiful it is, yeah? one of the things that we're not seeing is that every time that we light one of these fires, as you said, the gases that are out there, we as human beings, yes, we breathe in the air, we take in, which comprises of low nitrogen, oxygen, and all this or that. But at the end of the day, the body is such a wonderful thing that it is able to purify that air, take out what it needs, and we pass out the rest where we breathe out, where we exhale. Now, imagine an environment where you're constantly putting toxic gases and you're expecting your body at the end of the day to keep filtering and filtering. It's like a house filter as far as I'm concerned. When you put one of those filters, water filters on, you play, whether it be outside or house filters, you know, often you have to change that filter. When you change your filter, you see how clogged up and everything it is. Exactly. Now, I'm saying all of this to come to this analogy. We don't have spare parts. So I can't go to the doctor and say to him, these lungs that I've had for the last, let me say I'm only 25 years old, for the last 25 years, I think they're blocked up. So could you put in the spare ones so that I can continue? And at the end of the day, we want to know, why is it that cancer is so rampant? Why are we always hearing about these different ailments, not recognizing how we are contributing to our own demise? And those persons out there who just do it willy-nilly, and I'm talking, there are some people who just burn indiscriminately, no matter what. Neighbors talk to them, officials, fire officers may go, and they even threaten the fire officers. We've had instances of persons threatening fire officers. If you come here, I can show you this in the next and the third. But you continue, honestly speaking, I don't mind if when you do it, it only affects you, because that is the decision that you made. But when it goes now and it affects other people around you, like, I don't smoke, but you're a smoker. I sit next to you for the last 10 years, you don't end up with lung cancer. I don't. And that is what we're doing as a society to each other. And then we want to know, why is Barbados all of a sudden where we're having all of these issues? But at the end of the day, you are the ones contributing to it. We have so lost our way that we're no longer our brother's keepers. And that is a major issue. It is not about giving the fire officers work. Yes, we are paid to do it. Thank you much, Lee. But in some cases, persons lose homes. Yes. Because the fire gets away.
And I really want to add to that. It's a rubbish scenario. Rubbish has depends on it. It will be, it makes the place look
unsightly.
Unsightly. But it also causes a challenge for drainage. And when we have extreme weather or potential flood, heavy rains, then it increases the potential for flooding within the community. And this flooding requires a response from the fire service. And we are saying not that the fire service don't want to respond, but we need to ensure that those emergencies, those avoidable emergencies, those avoidable responses, yes, talk about avoidable incidents. So we're asking you, the public, to put those items, correct refuse, and probably correct parties, so that they can come and collect. Because this action creates other problems. We don't want to have those secondary problems, which ultimately can create threats to life, safety, and the persons with it. So I really like you guys again to heed this notice, to heed this warning, safe from burning, do not the garbage to reduce the possibility of flooding. You're seeing too much of this from our society and want us to get back to ensuring that country is always steady, being a safe.
Now, earlier on, we have had you on the show talking about doing risk assessments and mitigation strategies and whatever else. And this comes back down basically to that.
Very much so.
These persons are putting the hazards out there. they are creating the risk. Now, we're asking you, again, there are mitigating strategies that have been put in place. And one of these strategies, by the Sanitation Service Authority, it would appear of them early during the, just before the start of the hurricane season, making a passionate plea to pigeons, the persons living here, if you have any garbage, the ones that we consider waste or whatever the case is, to put them out. Call the truck, call the hotline, whatever number it was, and they will come to the area and they would collect. Now, if anybody like me, a true Bajan, I like to hear the word free. F-R-2-E, free. You understand? If they are providing a service that I don't have to pay for, why are you not capitalizing on it?
So true.
Government gave you, again, these nice, lovely black and green bins to put your refuge in. Why are we burning the garbage? If it is a case that you have not seen a collection, what is so wrong with calling? Why hasn't my garbage been? Because we brought in how many new trucks? Auntie Mia made sure that these things were provided so that the problems we were having earlier, that they were minimized. Again, mitigation strategies. So why are we not capitalizing on them as a society?
Ultimately, these receptacles are prone to the catching of water that lends to the mosquito population. And really and truly, what I'm basically saying is that we're creating a cycle. And if we don't have an intervention, the cycle keeps going. We'll continue to impact on life. We'll continue to impact on the environment. And we're scarcely married late fires. And because of this, say, the climate we're in, weather patterns are unpredictable. Never know when a highway would come and tear that restroom onto someone home because of the dense population. We spoke about that last time. We have significant fire spread in a lot of persons most of them. So we want persons to be responsible, utilize the agencies and services that are there in place, but also take the message, understanding how your actions and lack of actions can really impact on.
That is so true. Now, Bill, that you've also said that one of the things, I've had a couple calls, and to be honest, it annoys me to see that this is the level we've come to. Those persons who carry out work at home, whether it be the auto body repair guys with the 69 cars around them, they don't have a lot or anything to put these cars on, so then they're using the public road. Or we have those persons who repair, whether it be a fridge, a stove, whatever the case is. A person brings a stove to you or a fridge, or the compressor gone. Compressor is $1,800. A new fridge is $2,400. We can make this. What we can do? Tell me. We can do?
I can't speak directly, but as a person for financial standing. But I think I get the idea.
We know you got money. You going to buy the new one. You can let the old one. No, he's not going to get rid of that. He's going to leave that there, and he is going to. Well, if somebody else come and they want parts, they can get parts off of here, and they just add up and they add and they continue to build, and then before you know it, you have this whole set of appliances, broken down appliances around you. You don't have anywhere to put them, and then they start to filter into the access road. You're now blocking the road. In some cases, some of these places are called cul-de-sacs. You have some residents complaining that they have to squeeze through to get in. Now, if you're driving regular cars and they can't get in, what is going to happen then if it comes to the, whether it be fire truck, whether it be the garbage truck,
access
ambulance.
Yes, for those critical support agencies. And I agree with you 100%.
I
want to really say this too, that the parking on the pedestrian That is a problem because you're actually creating a scenario where the pedestrians have to
go into the road
and they can't be struck. And especially elderly persons having to go into the road, they are not as agile and they are slower. You're really increasing the risk. So, what we're basically saying today is that yes, there are hazards, but there are some hazards that we create. And we just ask you to think before you put that specific or take that specific action so that we don't ever create other hazards and put person's life, the environment, or property at risk.
And in cases like that, I mean, persons expect a lot from the fire service.
Definitely.
But there are also other entities that need to play their part. We have MTW, I think they're the ones in charge of road access and whatever else. We have the Ministry of Health, who also has to play their part because, again, as you just saw, these things are putting people's lives at risk, whether it be rodents, the mosquitoes, when we have the flooding in the areas, whatever it is. Each agency has a responsibility. And in cases like that, when we talk about interoperability, agencies working with each other, we need to forget this division or a response, and we need to come together. That is the only way that some of these issues that we're having can be and will be eliminated.
You know, speak to working together, it's kind of things behind the scenes. See something, especially when you look at some of these kind of things, see come together. I want to mention this last point this afternoon. And if you can get it now, yes, anybody can get it now. If you're driving your vehicle, if their vehicle is in your community, go and tell them to, if they're parked on a hydrant, ask them to move the hydrant. Because almost every fire is going to get access to the air. Speak about putting the wet stuff on the green stuff, and therefore, want you, members of the community, go and park on it and have somebody visit the community at them move.
Totally agree. I don't think we can finish on a more appropriate note. So, we've identified the problems.
Definitely.
We've also identified solutions. And we've told you how, as a community, how, as persons living out there, you can assist yourself and also assist us.
Yeah.
Now, the ball is in your court. How are you going to help protect yourself? And at the end of the day, as I said, we are not the ones who are impacted. We have our job to do. We'll come, we will operate, but then at the end of the day, so we have to live with the consequences of what has taken place. So on that note, this has been the 311 Radio Show. And being your host, Natasha Ford, and thank you again, Divisional Officer Small, for joining us, for being here, and of course, having a lot of wisdom to share.
It is really a pleasure, Barbados. Just remember, see something, say something, and we will do something.
As
Natasha said, remember, it's
311. And if there are those of you who have other queries, the other numbers you can reach us at 535-7830-313233. I can be reached at 535-7807. Those are the contact numbers for the unit. So we have our numbers, we've given you the advice, call, say something, or we'll try to do something. And as we always say, fire prevention is our intention. Bye bye.
On the Barbados Fire Service 311.